Greetings from Bishop Aubrey Shines and G2G Ministries in Tampa, Florida. We pray that you would be blessed and encouraged by the biblical message you are about to hear. Today's classic sermon from Bishop Shines continues the series Fundamental Doctrines with reference scripture Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 in the Amplified Classic and King James translations.
Get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, which is dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God, with teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. Why? These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware. Grab someone by the hand before you take your seat and tell them we're still learning the basic doctrines. Tell them we're still on the eternal judgment piece. And tell them if you are a Christ follower, your works will be tested by fire. Y'all sound good. Be seated. There's another scripture that I want to share with you really, really quick. I want you to turn with me, if you don't mind, over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse number 11. And we're going to read through 15 because this deals with this eternal judgment. If you were not here, let me just brief you real quick while you're turning and or looking up, that there is a judgment that all believers are going to have to stand before the Lord on. That is called the judgment seat of Christ. Taking notes, please do so. We're not here to entertain. I'm here to teach, to make sure you get this. You need to know this. As again, the apostle here says that these are elementary doctrines. And if you're ever going to grow, as the scripture says, to a place of spiritual maturity, you're going to have to grow up from an elementary place in order to get mature. And so in doing so, there are three seats. I've given you those three seats before. But for the believer, just for the sake of time, the believers all going, we're all, if you are a Christ follower, we're all going to stand before what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Hear me. If you're not a follower of Christ, now I'm not talking about why I go to church. The Bible says a lot of people go to church. Jesus even went further. He says a lot of people will come to me during the time of judgment, and they're going to say, Lord, and they'll give this long list of things that they did. And the Lord said, I'm quoting Jesus, he's going to say, depart from me. I never even knew you. So I'm talking to you if you're a Christ follower for a reason, because there are some dynamics that you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to know. So in it, I wanted you to see this in scripture. I think this is really going to help. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, again, go back to verse number 11, and here it is. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everyone say with me, one foundation. Boy, y'all sound good. Say it again. Say one foundation. Say that foundation is Christ. Period. All right, good. Let's go back here one more time. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid already, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, stop right there. Please write this down. Please write down, as a Christ follower, I am called to be a builder. Make sure you write that down. If you are a Christian, a Christ follower, a disciple of the Lord, you are called to be a builder. That is the responsibility of every believer. In other words, there are no exceptions to that rule. As a matter of fact, the scriptures declare that God sees his people as builders. So if you are a Christ follower, you would have no problem seeing yourself the same way that God sees you, and that is as a builder. The reason I often have you to talk to one another or to repeat something is because I've learned through scripture that the more you say something, the more you're going to identify with what you say. That's almost like a parent that raised a child. If you always tell a child he or she is never going to become anything, you are setting that child up to believe, I'm probably not going to be anything. Therefore, they will lower the bar in their lives because all they ever heard is, I'm not going to be anything anyway. And the reason I have you to often repeat something that the Lord has already said, you need to hear it with your own voice. Put your hand on your heart if you don't mind. Say this with me out loud. Say, according to the scripture, say, the God of heaven sees me as a builder. Come on, take that hand now and lift out. Just do it exactly the way Pastor's doing it. Say, in the hand or hands that he have put on me has responsibility to use the proper material to build upon the foundation that he's already laid. Everyone say, I am a builder. Give two people a high five and tell them, I'm a builder. I am a builder. I am a builder. Let me go a little further. Verse 12, but if anyone builds upon the foundation, watch this, whether it be gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, the work of each one will become plainly open, which is known, shown for what it is. Now, you want to pause and you want to write down right there, this is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. This is dealing with when we stand before the Lord. So every one of us, we're going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to give you some more scriptures in about 5 or 6 more minutes over in the book of Revelation is going to really help you see this thing the way that the scriptures is trying to give us description here. And what is going to happen here is there are materials that you and I as believers, we're going to be judged for. And I'll prove it in just a moment. Go back to verse 12 one more time. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, which we're supposed to all build upon the foundation. Note what he did not call us to do. He didn't call you and I to lay the foundation. He called, because the foundation is already laid, by the way, which is the most important part of the building. Because if the foundation is wrong, then if the wrong winds come, storms come, I don't care how beautiful the house is going down. And so the foundation has already been laid. He himself have laid the foundation. As a matter of fact, the scripture says actually that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation and Christ is the chief cornerstone. So the foundation of the church is already secure. The fact, however, is as Christ followers, we're still called to build upon what he's already started. And then he gives us a description of the things that we should use. So keep that somewhat in mind. So go to 13 now. The work of each one will become plainly open or plainly openly known or shown for what it is, for the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed how. All right, so everything that we build is going to be judged. You want to write this down by what is called spiritual fire. Make sure you get that. Everything that we build is going to go through a fire test. Whether or not you're building materials last, we're going to challenge that in just a moment. One more time, verse 13. The work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is, for the day of Christ will disclose and declare, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done. So note what it says, that there's some character, there's some worth that's going to be judged through this fire. And note what's going to happen. You and I would not be able to blame anyone for what we didn't do. Touch someone sitting next to you and tell them you have your own responsibility. Tell them, I know you love my life, but you need to get your own life. All right. I know that's rough. All right, here we go. Verse 14. If the work which any person has built on this foundation, which is any product of his efforts, whatever, if it survives this test, he will get his or her reward. But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing what? though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through the fire. So for the believer, it's not like you will be eternally lost. I want you to make sure you get this. But you won't have reward. Are you hearing me? So there's a difference here. So we're not talking about the soul being judged. So we know in the judgment seat of Christ, this is not for the believer's soul to be judged whether or not he or she is going to be lost. This is not what this is about. Why? When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's not the works we have done that is going to grant us heavenship. It is the cost that has already been paid for us by Jesus Christ, already laying the foundation. Therefore, when you and I stand before the Lord, it's not how good you've been, but it's how great he's been. And so when we stand before God, who consumes everything, when he sees us, he doesn't just see your fault. Will you touch two people and tell them, I'm so glad he doesn't. Come on. He only then sees the blood that we've been washed with. But hear me, please hear Pastor, that does not negate the fact that you and I have a responsibility to build something. So you can't just say, well, I'm in the Lord and nothing else matters. That's like showing up at your job or showing up on a team or showing up on something you're participating in, but you have no production. When it's trophy time, you get nothing. Well, I was on the team. Yeah, you didn't practice. I came to the building. You didn't work. How many know eventually you're going to lose something? Position, money, something's got to go. So I wanted you to see this. Now, just bear with me. Turn with me to the same verse, but I want to show it to you now in a different translation in the message because I want you to get, I hope a real good insight because I got several points I want to build. And then we're going to go very quickly to several other scriptures here. But go to 11. Go to the message. Everyone look up if you don't have one. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. But, I'm sorry. I'm still over in the amp, aren't I? All right, here we go. Verse 11. Remember, there it is. Remember, there's only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and start it over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. I don't know about you. I don't like that. Did you read that and go, I don't like that. I don't want to barely do anything. I believe that God called to bring us into an abundance. I don't believe that we're called to barely get by. I dare you to testify to two people and tell them, God didn't call you on this earth to barely do anything. Tell them you're wonderfully made and God wants you to do it in abundance. Hey, come on, people. That's how God sees us. God doesn't see his people as barely doing anything. We're called to do supernatural stuff. We're called to walk into a hospital room. And when the doctor said, it's over, when they're shocking everybody else back to life, God calls you. No, that's just the pastor. No, it's not. He calls the believer. Well, like if they die, so what? At least you've done your part. God calls you to see yourself the way he sees you. And that is, you are more than enough. All right, come on and go with me. There was a group of notes that I left in the first service, and I want us to begin to go through them pretty quickly here. I do. Now, if you notice, there were two groups, and you may want to write this down, and I pray that you do. When I gave you the Corinthians part, Paul, writing there in the city of Corinth, what we call the book of Corinthians, Paul said that in this foundation or in this building, the materials that we use, they're either going to be gold, silver, or precious stones. Then he goes over to another group, which is the second group. He said, these are wood, hay, and straw, and that sort of thing, wood and straw. Now, there's a reason for it. And I want to make sure that you get it. The first group, which is what I call, and you may want to write this down, this is called the valuables, or that which has value to it. And I'll show you why in just a moment. That's the first group, which is the silver stone and the precious stones. Why do I call it valuable? I'll ask the question this way. How many of you have ever walked out of your home and you found just bags and bags and blocks long of pure gold? Anybody? Have any of you ever walked out of where you live and you walked and there was nothing but diamonds as far as your eye? So many diamonds you could retire off of two. Anybody? Anyone? No one. Has anyone walked out and found precious stones? And you went, oh my God, I'm rich forever. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone? No one. Watch this. But when you've walked out, you've always seen wood. Everywhere you go. You can go to Europe, field. Go to Africa, field. You can go right now to the north part of this country where it's freezing. It won't have any leaves, but it's still filled with wood. There's straw, hay everywhere. I mean, you could just go find, you know, even grass, technically speaking, that is no longer implanted in the ground. That's just straw now. In other words, it's just in a bounty. What the writer is trying to give us an insight is that when we're doing something for the Lord, it must have value. So the gold and the silver and the precious stone really defines something that has value to it. And if you're going to build and do something for the Lord, but it's just with any old material that's so common that anybody can find, he doesn't put a whole lot of value to it. And he's just simply saying at that point, he says, if you're building with things that have no value, then when you stand before me, if you use those materials, hear me, people, he's not talking about this literally. This is a metaphor of something that's much precious. I'll show it to you here. Go a little further with me. I put up another group of notes. The first group has value, which is hard to find. The second group is just that. It's just very, something that is, for the most part, just very, very common. But there's something else that I want you to make sure that you get here. And that is that out of these things, there is a way to view Christ, the judger, in a way that maybe you've never considered before. Turn with me over to Revelation, the first chapter. I want to make sure that you get this here. Revelation 1, verse number 14. Because remember the scripture I just gave you over in the book of Corinthians, where it talks about no other foundation than you can build other than that's already been built. Therefore, the materials that you use got to make sure that they're precious, that which is gold, silver, because your test or the work that you do is going to be tried by the fire. So if we're going to all stand, let me give you scripture. Maybe you're just new here. The Bible says that it is appointed to every person to die. After that, the judgment. And the Bible then goes on to say, for all shall stand before one of the seats or the judgment seats of Christ. And so I've already shared with you in prior weeks that the believer, we're not going there to be judged as it relates to our soul. We're going there to be judged as it relates to the work that we've done. There is a different judgment for those that don't believe. And there are some judgments that are there. But I want to horn in on something here. And I want you to see it as the way that we're going to see Christ. By the way, this is how John saw Christ in this vision or this revelation, the way that Christ revealed himself. Look with me at the scripture. Speaking of Christ, here's John writing as the Spirit has given him utterance to do so. He said, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. Go to the next verse for me there as well. Look at verse 15. His feet glowed like bright bronze that is refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many, many waters. Turn with me, if you don't mind, same verse over to the book of the KJV, the King James Version. I want you to always have a grasp of this in more than one version. I'd like for you to see the language here. Note how it reads. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. go to the next verse. And his feet like unto the brass, and if as if though they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, everyone look at Pastor. We're getting a clear insight that when we stand before Christ, we're going to see Christ in a way we've never seen him before. Because all of us have this image of what we believe Christ is like on this earth. But when we stand before him and he's seated in the place of judgment as relates to the believer, we're going to see. Now, there's a reason for this here. Everyone take your hand, and I'm going to break this down. I want you to take your hand and put it under your chin for just a moment. Say, keep your hand there. Say this with me. Say, above my hand, where my chin is located, say, represents the head. Say, according to the scripture, come on, say, Christ is the head of the church. Keep your hand there. Everyone, imagine now what's underneath your hand. Say, underneath my hand is the rest of the body. Say, the lower extremity of my body are my feet. I want y'all to keep that in mind. Go with me again one more here to the scripture. Note what it says something, and I want you to really, really see this because you're going to get a visual now as it relates to the scripture in Corinthians and the scripture in the book of Revelation. So it speaks of his eyes a certain kind of way, that bit which is fire, and it speaks of his feet a certain kind of way. The first thing I want to deal with, if you don't mind, let me take it out of order. I want to start with the bottom first. Please write down the feet part because we saw where the feet of Christ is burned as if though in a fire. That word translated properly or in our vernacular is where we get the word tribulation from. You may want to write that down. It's so important for you to take note. Now, I want you to remember something. We think of this as Christ's feet. The Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. How many of you belong to the church? If you're a part of the body of Jesus Christ, you belong to the church. Well, if Christ is the head, who are his feet? We're the feet of the Lord. Guess where the feet have been? Walking through tribulation. So every believer, hear me, every believer must go through periods in your life where there are tremendous trial. And watch this. This is going to help some of you. If you only see Christ as just some genie in a bottle that's always giving you something, you will divorce yourself from reality, not realizing that every believer has to go through something. If we are called then to go through something, then what are we then being tried for? Here's the key word. Write it down. It's the motivation or what our motives are. Some of us go through things, but we have a horrible motive when we do it. I'll prove it in just a moment. When the feet go through a period of trial, it's your attitude that will determine if you're going to pass the test. Some of us go through bad trial. Watch this. I know it's going to make some of you so uncomfortable. Some of us go through trial. Watch this. And we complain through the whole trial. You will have to take the test again because you're not really believing that God is going to bring you out of what you're in, or you wouldn't be complaining about it. Would you give someone a high five and tell him he set us up, didn't he? Yep, he did. Here's the reality. Some of us go through things and we moan and complain all the way through it. If someone were to tell you that you were going to come out of whatever you've been dealing with and you could see the end of the road, watch this, I'll prove it to you, what would your attitude be like? Somebody had the right word. The first thing, nobody would even have to teach you how to praise God. Nobody would have to tell you, now church starts at 9 o'clock, be on time, because you know that's when I work. Man, let there just be a glimmer that God is about to bring you out of what you've been going through. I ain't got to convince you to be on time. You'll be the first person in here and you'll have your hands raised before anybody else is even singing. As a matter of fact, some of you get your song on way before you even get in the church. Because you'll believe that I can see the end of something. Why? Your motive is now pure because you believe that God is doing something that he said he's going to do. But here's the part we don't like. So don't shout me down here. We don't like when we go through anything. So we try to come out of it as quick as we can. I'm not saying you shouldn't desire to come out, but I'm saying your attitude should be different while you're in it. Because if you really believe that God is who he said that he is, and he's able to bring you out with exceedingly abundance, then your attitude would already be fixed that I'm coming out of this. Why? That though he leads me through a trial, it's not like he's going to forsake me. Let me make this a little more clear to you. It's going to hurt your feelings just a little bit. Touch somebody and tell them it's only going to hurt for a little bit. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them this shot's only going to hurt for a minute. The Bible says that the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Watch this. It implies then that God allows us at times to walk through some trials. Not because he doesn't like you, by the way. But he's bringing the best out of you. If you're ever going to become better at something, you got to go through something to become something. You don't just become a champion because you want to become one. Don't listen to all this fake teaching, just speak it only. I believe in speaking, that's the foundation. But when you speak the word of the Lord, after you speak it, there's the test. I'll prove it to you. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, wherever my word is, there is also persecution. He never separated the two. He said, wherever my word is, boom, there's persecution. So whatever God calls you to do, you got to be testing in it. Come on. When you go through school, your teacher just doesn't teach. You got to take a test. Why? If they have already taught it. Because he or she needs to know that, not that they know, they already know what's on the test. But they need to know that you know that you can pass the test. If God gives you something huge to do, there's also going to come a test, a trial that is going to come in it. How many, I'll prove it to you, how many want to be great? Come on, come on. You want God to bless you. If you have a neighbor that didn't lift up their hand, say you got another test and let's call you a liar. Go ahead, you have my proof. Because there's not a person on the sound of my voice that doesn't want to become everything that God wants them to become. So if God wants you to become something, there's a test that's involved in becoming it. Now, be honest. I need your honesty. Come on. I need your honesty. How many know that if you knew that a bad trial was a block away, but you had to go that way, you would not want to go that way. You would look for another way to go. Anybody that said, no, I'll just walk right on up to the trial. You are either a masochist or you got a whole nother thing going on within you. Because our natural proclivity is not to ever enter into something that's going to be uncomfortable. Because we are people, especially here in the West, part of this globe, we are given to comfort. We don't want to sweat for anything. We don't want to labor for anything. We got this microwave mentality, pop it in the micro, hit the right button, boom, 6 minutes later, something that should have taken you 2 hours to make is done in 6 minutes. Ooh, this tastes good. The problem with the microwave, it takes all the nutrients out of your meal. I just thought I would throw that out. That was a free part, one part of my message. See, we want the taste, but we don't want the labor involved. We want to be in shape. I'm standing right behind here, David. But we don't want to do the push-ups. Or the crunches. So we go to the drugstore. Or we order something online. Take this pill for 19 days for $19 and you're going to lose 19 pounds. I have 3 people that have proven. Did you take it? I took it 19 days and $19. I lost 19 pounds. But the problem is you may lose it. But when it comes back, it comes back with a vengeance. So you've gotten the first part. The problem is it didn't have nothing to sustain you. See, going through the sweat to lose it, come on, it makes you have an appreciation
that once it's off, you're more determined. I don't want to go through that again. Therefore, maybe I better work my body to keep this stuff off me, because I know how hard. I wish I had some honest people here. Maybe you're too young to realize, but as you get older, it gets a little more difficult to take off. Therefore, when you lose it, you have a real deep appreciation for everything you took to get it off in the first place. If you're under the age of 27, you can't relate yet. But when your metabolism begins to slow down just a little bit, the things that you can't eat. Now, I took some of our players out for pizza and they just inhaled it. And I was sitting there, Kim, and I was thinking, I remember when I could inhale it. And it never stuck on my body. But Deacon Tommy, I'm telling you, after a couple of bites of that, I was like, I need to go walk. They could go back 2 hours later and eat another whole pizza. They don't have to labor yet. That's where we are spiritually. See, what you have to go through something for, you have a different kind of appreciation, because you realize it's the same God that brought you out. He can now bring someone else out. But if you never go through anything, you're never able to help someone else that is going through what you've already gone through. See, if you've never gone through it, you don't really have the authority to speak about it until you have experienced it. That is the reason why. Never let a person make you feel a certain way when they've never had to go through what you've gone through. If they've never gone through a trial, they don't really know what a trial is really, really like. If they don't know what it's like to hurt in the middle of the night, they can't really speak to you in depth and authority about what it's like to hurt in the middle of the night. If you never had to cry before because your heart has never been broken, then it's very difficult to receive the truth that I know what it's like to have your heart broken. Not if you've had your heart never broken. You may be able to identify with me in theory, but you cannot identify with me in experience. And when you go through enough stuff, you become sensitive as a result of it. Not only do you know you can come out, but I dare you to give a high five to someone and tell them, and you can come out as well. See, and until you come out of it, you can never help. So why do we have to go through the trial? We got to go through the trial, not for us, but for somebody else. That is why we are our brother's keeper. It means that if I went through it, you're going to come through it. If I came out of it, you're going to come out of it. I know what I'm talking about. I was raised in a wonderful home. I really, really was. Money, the whole deal. Father, business owner. I mean, you know, I kind of had some things going on there. I really, really did. I'm not kidding. I was 17 driving a Cadillac. Hey, glory. I wasn't in church, pick up anybody I wanted to. I was in a sedan DeVille. Burgundy, black top, Vogue tires. Bose radio, jamming Earth, Wind, and some of these church people like, who is Earth? You mean in the earth, the wind? They'll catch up later. Here's the deal. As cool as those and nice as those things were, I did well. 17, 18 years of age. Didn't have a bad salary working for my dad. $40-some dollars an hour wasn't bad. Give someone a high five and say, it ain't bad right now. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm still dealing with this judgment piece. My dad died. High school, I'm burying my father. It's a rough thing for a 17-year-old young man to go through, picking out caskets. I don't recommend it. A few years later, I give my life to the Lord. 20. I've left a wonderful life. Now I'm born again. And I don't have two nickels to rub together. From Sedanville, come on now, to a Plymouth scamp. Y'all don't even know what a scamp is. Y'all thought a scamp was a fish. It was a, and I had holes in the floor. It's cold in Chicago. Y'all think it's cold here now. Ooh, it's just so cold. Praise the Lord. Honey, please. I had to go to church when it's 60-some below zero wind chill factor. Some of y'all wouldn't have. If y'all would have woke up this morning, it was 10 degrees. Y'all wouldn't have even come to church with your spiritual tongue talking self. Y'all would have laid in your bed hugging on each other or a pillow, whatever you hug on. And you'd have been, ooh, Jesus knows my heart. Because some of you all, y'all wouldn't have shown up. Just, y'all pray for me. Y'all would have been calling Sister Karen. Sister Karen, tell Pastor I'm not going to be in church. She wouldn't have been in church. I'm sorry, Karen. So I go from doing, I'm talking about, watch this. I'm talking about how God purifies us. I go from living very, very well, understanding business at 15 years of age. I get born again, love the Lord for real, love the Lord. And God allows me to go through a long season where I had nothing. Dad's dead. I'm living in a one room. I didn't say apartment. I said one room. That was it. Somebody else's house. It's cold. There's no heat. I got a lot of covers and sweatsuits and stuff. Oh, God, I have to hurry through this. I cry every time I think about this. Having to try to put on water that's cold and get over in it. Jesus, it hurts. I cannot tell you how much cold water hurts until you get in cold water. How many took a bath or shower this morning? If you didn't, I'm going to give you permission to lie. Just lift up your hands and tell your neighbor, I meant to. I just... Just repent. Go ahead. Just, Jesus, I'm sorry. I lied. You didn't get in cold water this morning. You made sure the water got warm before you even put your toe over in that thing. I didn't have that anymore. I'm serving Jesus, not telling anybody what I'm going through. I'm broke. I'm in college. I have nothing. I'm working for 70-some dollars part-time in a hospital that I got a week. I would always ask the guys who were making the food, hey, man, hook me up one of them sandwiches. They just thought I was greedy. No, I'm serious. I was hungry. It was rough. I was serving the Lord. I'm 20 years of age. I'm on fire. But Jesus ain't talking for some reason. I hear the men preaching, but I don't see no manifestation. I'm coming to church. My 70-some dollar a week job, Dr. Ruth, I was giving my $7 tithe and 10 cents for an offering. Well, that was a lot of money back then. I ain't that old. What are y'all talking about? That was just a few years ago. Y'all think, well, that was way back in the day. What day? We had cable. We didn't have satellite, but we had cable. And here I was being tried in a fire. I wish I could tell you I prayed and it went away immediately. I would be a liar. Now, if you want to hear that, I'll make you feel good. It just won't be the truth. And so I'm suffering like you can't even imagine. But yet, I was the first one in church. First one with my hands lifted in the sanctuary, singing the praises of the Lord, giving God glory, witnessing to those that would listen, bringing in those that would come. I had my 2 to 3 outfits only. I did not have a closet to go and pull a lot of stuff from. I had a pair of boots that I had found, literally taking it to the shoe shop to get the man to cut the heel off. And he told me how the heel was going to mess up because the boot ain't designed that way. Young man, I can't take your money. I'll cut the heel off, but it's going to make you walk funny. But I needed something to keep my feet warm because I was putting cardboard and paper on the bottom, thank you, Jesus, of my shoes. And yet, I had made up in my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I don't care what happens to me, I'm going to stay faithful. But I got to be honest. Part of my motive was wrong. And it wasn't until the Lord rebuked me that I saw that my heart still wasn't right. Oh, I was saying and singing and doing everything that I knew to do. But here was the reality. One day while I was in prayer, I got to get out of here. One day when I was in prayer, I began to weep before the Lord. I mean, just I was crying profusely. God, why? What have I done? Have you ever asked that question before? I did. God, what have I done? Why am I in this situation? Why can't I seem to get out? I don't understand why you took my father. That's between you and him. But God, why? The businesses are gone. I have none of this anymore. All of the things that were comfort to me. Now here is the trial. I'm still talking about the judgment of the trial that we go through. I wouldn't have walked on my own to do that. But God was leading me there. And in my prayer, the Lord spoke to me. I'll never forget it. I literally was in a closet in a prayer, a real closet. And the Lord spoke to me. I got angry. And I took one of the two pair of shoes that I own. I took my finger and I poked the hole out from the outside. I said, look at this. I'm serving you. And this is all that I have. Thank you, Jesus. God said this to me. Until you can get the bitterness out of your heart, I can't bless you. I heard it, but I couldn't respond a certain way. I didn't know I was bitter until I heard this. Why do you think I always have you all to repeat something? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. When I can make you speak out of your mouth and your ears can hear it, you can hear something that you've not. See, it's one thing to imagine something, but it's different when you speak it out of your mouth. When the Lord spoke that word to me, I screamed out in the closet, how am I bitter? And I heard myself for the first time. And when I heard it, I broke and I began to weep. I begged God to forgive me for having a bitter heart. You can justify whatever you want. I didn't even know I was walking in bitterness. I know what it really was looking back at it. How many God have ever brought you out of something, but you didn't know he was bringing you out until he brought you out? And then when you come out, you realize, oh my God, that's why I was in the first place. I was bitter because everything that once was there was now gone. And now I'm suffering and I'm struggling and life is very difficult. And when the Lord revealed this thing to me, I begged him. I says, if you forgive me, I'll never ask you for a thing. Just let me have these shoes and don't even bless me with anything else. Just let me just serve you all the days of my life. And I promise I'll be faithful to you. And if you never bless me with anything, God, I want to serve you. I put the paper back in the shoes, the cardboard back in the shoes. And I made up in my mind, I'm never going to complain in my heart. See, I wasn't doing it out loud, but on the inside, that's the way I was really living. See, if God doesn't allow the trial to come, you never know what's in you. Anybody can be on top of the mountain giving God glory when you got a whole lot going on, but can you still give God praise, glory, and honor when nothing is working out? What about when your relationships don't work out? Can you still give him glory? What about when she or he leaves you? Can you still give God glory? What about when everybody is overlooking you? Can you still give God glory? What about when you don't get the promotion? Can you still give God glory? What about when the coach don't pick you up, but he picks up somebody else that is not as good as you? Can you still give God glory? Whatever is in your heart, God's going to bring it out through testing. So when I made up in my mind I didn't care anymore, you can figure out the story. A few days later, all of a sudden, breakthroughs begin to come. Money began to come to me I wasn't even looking for. God began to bring me out. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, the day is going to come in your life. I'm going to bring you before governors and presidents of this nation. You're going to meet senators and representatives. I'm going to let you minister to men of great wealth, men that play professional. And here I was still just coming out, but look at years later. I've stood now before presidents. I've laid hands on presidents and governors. I've laid hands on senators and representatives. How did he do it? I had to go through the trial first. Once you can come out the trial, the glory belongs to the Lord. I can't finish, but I wish you would put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. So what am I trying to give you? Please stand. I got to stop. My time is up. This is why we need one service. I would never have to stop. We could just finish it up. Part of the judgment is being able to go through a trial with a good attitude. Can I get you to do me a favor? Would you grab the hand of three people, hold their hands, make some circles? Come on. I'm just trying to help you all not go through what I went through. And the way to do it is to get over yourself quicker. Now, the hands in whom you're holding, If you don't know that person, let me give you a minute. You need to introduce yourself. Come on. Tell them who you are. And now repeat these words. Repeat these words. Say, I may not know all of your life, but I've lived long enough to know this. A lot of things in life don't always make a lot of sense. But tell them, if you can just stay with the Lord, trust Him when you don't understand. Be faithful to Him when nothing is working out in your life. Go through your trial, but don't have a crummy attitude. And if you can do these things and still keep your hands lifted, still be faithful to the church, still give what belongs to the Lord, say, I guarantee you, in the name of that Lord, you will come out. God will provide. God will raise you up, and you will do great things. Tell him, if you believe what you held my hand to say, then let my hand go and lift your hands with me. Come on, and let's give God some praise in here. Take 30 seconds. Oh, you can do better than that. Take 30 seconds and give God praise. I can't hear you. That's it. Give him praise. Open up your mouth and get, that's it. Boy, you all are sounding good out there. Give him glory. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Everyone look at Pastor. I got to let you go. There are so many doors that God is about to open for you. Please trust me. I know the voice of the Lord. There are so many great doors that God is about to open for you in this year. I'm telling you that this is a year we're going to be outside of that box, and God is about to fill you with things you've never even imagined before. Some of you that have been waiting on healings and breakthroughs, honey, don't even wait for it to happen. You might as well put your hands together and give God glory for it now. Don't wait until it just shows up.
We hope this message has been a blessing in your life. To hear more inspiring, transformative messages, visit glorytoglory.org and make sure you follow and like us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.